Okay, thanks for hanging out with us. So the difference, and you know this, Lori, between me and my sisters is that we've always loved watching movies, celebrities. We've gobbled this stuff up our whole life. Mm-hmm. We're curious. We we like everything, sports, everything. My sisters have lived in Bozeman, Montana since the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. So my little sister is leaving Bozeman Airport, which has quadrupled in the past 5 years. And she sends us a text, and the three of us off air are trying to figure out who this is. My sister sends, "I think Roger Woods is here, and he's not flying private." And we're
who's Roger Woods?
Who's Roger Woods? And we're like, is it James Woods? Is it anybody? So we send her. So we send her back a thing. Who's Roger Woods? Is it James Woods? And then Grant, you said a football player. And
Robert,
She goes, no. It's Tiger Woods.
Oh, that's what I thought right away.
But yes,
I
was like, if you could see this picture.
There's no, I was like, Tiger.
I'm going to send you the picture. Oh, he's looking out at the Bozeman.
Goosebumps.
Gallatin Field,
BZN, if you're going there. And Sun Country, I hope they're flying there this summer. I don't even know.
Oh, what a treat.
But he's just thinking. He's got his baseball hat on. And he's just, and I said, oh my God, you have to go over and say hi.
Yeah, every window has a great view at the Bozeman Airport. It all looks out at the airfield.
It's unbelievable.
And the Gallatin Mountains.
He's the one guy that I would not be afraid to go up and say, I know you get this all the time, but I have to shake your hand. I know he has a bad pass. I understand.
Whatever.
That.
We watched him every Sunday.
But yes, what he did for the game of golf, and you guys know about my family.
You're very owned the golf course.
We made money because of him. Roger Woods.
Who the hell is that? She's like, oops, Tiger.
And
like,
big mix up.
When I was watching Iron Claw with Casey and, you know, Rick Pretty Boy Flair makes an appearance. And of course, I had a boyfriend in the early 80s, like 83, 84, 85. And he.
Not the hockey goalie.
No. He became my husband.
Okay, yes.
But he was my boyfriend at the time. And he worked with this guy, Rick, who was a camera guy at WCCO. And they covered the wrestling matches at the St. Paul Civic Center. Yes. And he and Jeff Earl would be the helpers, and he just loved all these wrestling guys. And we happened to be, I think we were driving back from Daytona spring break. I had worked that season, and we were at like an IHOP in Florida, and Ric Flair was in a booth, and
that's awesome.
Tom started sweating profusely because he had to go say hi to him. I've got to go meet him. I can't believe it. He's right there. And I'm like, go say hi. And I mean, I went with them, and he was super nice. I mean, we interrupted his breakfast. His hair was peroxided to within an inch of his life.
Oh.
He was pretty. Shook our hands. I believe we got a photo. I took the photo, and he was just like, so big. You don't realize, like, wrestling was like so huge.
It was
in the 70s.
Don't you remember Hulk Hogan was in studio with us, Grant?
Baron Von Raschke.
Yes, he was
in studio with us.
Well, he was here locally. Herman Killebrew was in studio with us.
God. Joe Maurer recently.
Joe Maurer.
Locally here too, the ties with Vern Gagne and all of, I mean, wrestling here, especially in the state of Minnesota.
Hey, when's Maurer and Joe Schmidt on with Kelly?
Tomorrow, the 28th.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, the Kelly Clarkson show tomorrow. Joe Maurer and Joe Schmidt from Channel 5 are going to be on Kelly Clarkson tomorrow.
Yeah, promoted.
So tune into Channel 5 Kelly Clarkson. I think she's on from like 2 to 3. I have one more thing to say about how my sisters are surrounded by celebrities and don't know them.
Yeah.
My sister owns a tile shop at the Four Quarters, if you're ever there, ceramic, especially tiles. And one day she says, Julie, my family calls me Julie, this gal came in today and she's like, oh, sugar, I like that tile. Oh, wow. I love this shop. You should do have some nice things here. And she's this petite little redhead, and Catherine's in, like, who are you? She's like, well, thank you. You know, thank you. And, you know, talking.
I'm Reba.
It's Reba. It's
what?
Reba. My sister didn't even know who she was.
Oh, my gosh.
Aaron Eckhart, the beautiful Aaron Eckhart, was in. She goes, this gorgeous guy was in today. I have no idea who he was, but I know he's a movie star, but I don't know them. I'm just like, they're so wasted on you. Anyway.
Well, speaking of movie stars, Roger Friedman told us this back in January that there would be a Bruce Springsteen biopic happening.
Yes. And this one, I can't wait.
Deadline tried to pretend they had the scoop, but the Showbiz 411 has corrected them because we found out that he informed us that Scott Cooper, the guy who directed Crazy Heart, which, what's his name?
Jeff Bridges
was amazing. Yep. I think he won an Oscar.
Yep.
Was making a movie with Bruce Springsteen. And the movie is about when Bruce was writing and recording his Nebraska album. Guess who's going to play Bruce Springsteen? Now, this would have been that Nebraska album. Was it like late?
It was 82?
It was early 80s. Like
I think 70. I'm the only one who bought it.
I know I bought it too we all thought it was going to be like the other album.
And it's the mellow melodical ballad.
But it's been come to regard it as kind of this poetic masterpiece.
It's beautiful.
Guess who's going to play him? You'll never guess.
Okay, Jacob Elordi.
Can he sing? Can he play his guitar? We don't know.
Okay, but just wait.
He was just in a movie that I talked about this weekend that was one of the saddest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, Zac Efron?
No, a co-star.
Jeremy, whatever, the bear.
Jeremy Allen White.
Oh.
He's got the face.
Yeah.
He's got the face,
Does he
the
sing?
Hair. We don't know.
Grant, I sent you the picture of Tiger Woods.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. So, that casting is happening, and Jeremy Allen White will star in it, and it is all about, you know, Bruce, and I guess he would have been in his early 30s when he did Nebraska.
And I think it was he still with Julie Phillips?
I don't even know that they were together then. I believe he was single.
Okay.
And, you know, Bruce has returned to the stage, his first concert last week at the Footprint Center in Phoenix.
Yes.
We have a little story of people, because he had to cancel, like, 5 months worth of dates.
And remember, my friend Maureen was going to Syracuse to see him.
Yes.
And then it got rescheduled to, I think, this summer. The first concert he canceled, my friends were going to.
Yeah. And he's not known for canceling. People have to be really sick or whatever. So here's just a little report for GMA on what's going on, because Bruce suffered from something, a condition that many Americans have, Joy, and it's called peptic ulcer disease.
This morning, rock legend Bruce Springsteen opening up about his recent health struggles.
I literally couldn't sing at all.
The 74-year-old superstar roaring back to the stage just last week in Phoenix.
Good evening, Arizona!
After postponing his world tour in September as he battled peptic ulcer disease, which causes sores or ulcers in the lining of the stomach or small intestine, the boss revealing in an interview on Sirius XM's E Street Radio last week, he feared the condition might force him to stop singing.
One of the big problems was I couldn't sing.
Yeah.
You sing with your diaphragm. You know, my diaphragm was hurting so badly that when I went to make the effort to sing, it was killing me.
Springsteen says his inability to sing lasted 2 to 3 months.
During the course of it, before people told me, oh, no, it's going to go away and you're going to be okay, you know, you're thinking like, hey, am I going to sing again?
Gastroenterologist Dr. Sophie Balzora says the singer's difficulty using his diaphragm very likely is related to abdominal pain from peptic ulcer disease.
And when you think about the diaphragm separating the, you know, abdominal cavity from the chest cavity, you can imagine, you know, he may have a lot of difficulty just taking large, deep breaths and belting out those lyrics.
At the end of the day, I found some great doctors and they straightened me out, and I can't do anything but thank them all.
But now the boss is back.
Because
so good to see him up
there. I talk from right here. Remember when I had to go to the ear, nose, and throat special because I'd lose my voice at the fair, Grant, and get sick every year. I was allergic to the fair, and I had no voice. And so I had to go and learn how to talk.
Breathe deeper
and work it through. He always sounds to me like he's singing right from his throat, like he doesn't use his diaphragm.
Believe me, he does.
Right, the way his raspy voice is. So I never, like, thought of that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Bruce.
Anyway, so he's back.
Are you going to go again?
Well, I mean, I don't
Pookie
have
wants
any
to
plans.
Go, she wants to travel.
Yeah.
To see him.
I mean, I could be talked into it, Julia.
We have
time.
We have time.
You know. But Anyway, I got to quick tell you this because we're just one more sleep away from Beyoncé. It released tomorrow, Cowboy Carter at midnight.
The new album.
The new album. Mm-hmm. And she released the track list, Julia. Okay. We are getting unbelievable treasures on this album. Blackbird is one of the song. That is a song by the Beatles.
So she's on the side of the world.
Doing a cover of the Beatles.
I love that song so much.
A song
makes me go.
Called Jolene. And Dolly Parton told us she gave permission to Beyonce to sing that. Another song featuring Jolene. Another song.
You mean featuring Dolly or Jolene?
No, excuse me, Dolly. Okay. Another song featuring Dolly and another song featuring Miley.
Oh, I could not leaning into this. I
could
love
not
it.
Suss out any Taylor Swift. Alligator Tears is one song. My Rose, Sweet Honey Bucking, which is what my Buckle Bunny nickname was when I was on the rodeo circuit.
Okay, wait a minute.
Buckle Bunny.
No. Sweet Honey Bucking.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you?
Sweet Honey Bucking. That's what you get if you.
That's
hang
too
out
hard
with
to see. Say
sweet, no, not really,
sweet,
Julia.
Hi, people call me Sweet Honey Buckin.
Buckin,
like Buckin Bronco.
Yeah, rhymes with other words.
Oh, for God's sakes! Oh, for crying out loud! Go. My sister also said Post Malone is there in the airport at Bozeman,
Montana. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling
LA
you,
2.0.
That's
skiing.
Yeah, that's no. You have no idea.
No, Tiger Woods wouldn't have been skiing. Not with that knee.
He'd be at the Yellowstone Club.
No.
Okay.
He's mm-hmm. probably out there.
No, he's at the Yellowstone Club.
Mm-hmm. Being the man that he is.
Anyway, so just letting you know what
he said. Holy tattoos. Post is there sitting next to her.
Oh, my God. Well, she should say hi. I think he really would like her.
He would like us.
He
would like you.
He's an open dude. I feel like he would like
that. Tell him she loved his devil in disguise at Graceland.
I'm dying.
Because he'll love that.
Yes, that was his cover of,
cover he played on the pool.
The acoustic on the pool.
And he did the acoustic Devil in Disguise. Oh. I want Post Malone to do nothing but acoustic of really groovy Elvis songs.
Oh, I was at the airport when I was a kid, and I ran into Danny Glover. And
oh,
I was
so lovely.
A huge fan at that time of all the Lethal Weapon movies.
Oh,
and my
loved
dad.
Him.
And,
loved those movies.
You know, and Angels in the Outfield. And he saw me. And he had a hat on, head down, and I was short, and he was right in the line in front of us, and I kind of like checking in outside. I looked at him, he looked at me, and I just, my eyes lit up because I knew, and he just gave me the, like, don't get too excited. I'm trying to keep it low key.
Right,
I looked at my dad, and I poked my dad, and then he just looked at me, and his eyes lit up. It was... Yeah, I didn't have the guts to say anything, but you should tell your sister to say hi to the Post.
I just said, he would like you. Tell him you loved his Devil in Disguise at Graceland. She would say, I'm supposed to tell you Devil in Disguise at Graceland. She would have no idea. She wouldn't have.
When he sang Elvis's song, Devil in Disguise.
That was the Christmas special, right?
That was the Christmas special, which my mom still has on her DVR. She's not erasing it.
Good for her.
Just like the HBO documentary on on Elvis. Everything Elvis, it stays. It's not going anywhere. You know?
I still have the Yule log.
You know, do you really?
Okay, because I keep a Yule log all year round.
You know, I kept so many things for so long, and then I'm like, all right, delete it.
Yeah.
Just delete it.
The one I never get rid of is the
reminder,
Yule log.
We're going to be, Jana interviewed us today.
Oh, Jana Shortle from Sarah Levin.
Sarah Levin, her program, which is great, is on at 6:30. And at the tail end of it, she interviewed us today via Zoom.
Yeah. I mean, I loved that I found out that she listens.
I love it.
I know. Who doesn't listen?
That's on NBC. Oh,
wait,
night,
you should have seen what Lori just said. Yes.
Who doesn't listen?
There's a market for
Cher,
that.
Cher is not listening.
Well, Cher's kind of busy.
Yeah, she
a little bit.
She's got a younger boyfriend. She's Sweet Honey Bucket now.
On that note, should we get to the dirt?
Please.
We'll be right back.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone
someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Anne and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free one-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Grant.
Yes, yes. Let's get to some fun dirt, some interesting dirt, and some dirty dirt. But let's start out with a little fun dirt right now. There is Shakira. She did a little surprise performance in New York City at Times Square stage to celebrate her new album, which gave me Las Mujeres Ya No Lolan.
That's right. We played Punteria featuring Cardi B last Friday.
Easy for you guys to say.
And Punteria was one of the songs she performed alongside Hips Don't Lie. But the coolest thing about this was drew more than 40,000 fans. And that's the biggest crowd the area's ever seen, even during the New Year's Eve celebration.
Wow.
So, and I just got 20 seconds. I'm going to play a little bit of Hips Don't Lie. And then she thanks the fans. It's just kind of a fun little moment.
Nobody else.
I agree.
She has some other, she like doesn't have hip joints. Something happens that it all moves so unbelievable.
And I know Casey and I both remember the Super Bowl performance very, very well.
I do too.
I do too.
I was being autosexual that evening with myself.
Our new term. The term of the day.
Term of the day. But so now let's move over to some interesting things that are going on in New York City as well. This is on a more, a little bit of a negative side, but just to give some reference, Rick Moranis back in 2020, who, you know, from
Shrunk the Kids,
Ghostbusters, he retired from acting to take care of his kids after the unfortunate passing of his wife. In 2020, he was punched in the face in the Upper West Side of New York City, a random attack.
Yeah.
They did find the guy, but that was in 2020. Well, now this has become a problem in New York City, especially in the Upper West Side. There have been 25 women that have come to the come out to say that they have been randomly attacked in the Upper West Side. Now, there was this is the interesting part. So there was a since deleted TikTok video from a fashion design student named Michaela Tontino, and she shared her experience of being assaulted. And a comment was made by Bethany Frankel, and she revealed that she was also randomly punched on a Manhattan street earlier this year.
Come on.
Yeah, and she said that she was embarrassed to tell anyone about it, because it's insane, because this, you know, this only happened a few months ago, but she didn't bring it out because she was just kind of too embarrassed to talk about it. But this has been a problem in New York City. I mean, like I said, more than 25 women have come forward with these same accusations of being just randomly hit in the Upper West Side. So
That's not
gross.
Good.
No, it's gross. It's awful. But now let's go to a little Ariana Maddox news here. Now, and Lori and I, we used to watch Love Island. That was a show that we liked a lot.
I loved when it was on CBS.
Exactly. Now it has moved over to Peacock. We also loved our Irish guy. Remember in the beginning,
the narrator.
The narrator. He was witty as heck. He was fantastic. They replaced him. It's been a little bit here, up and down, here and there. But Sarah Hyland had been the last two seasons, season 4 and 5, host of Love Island. Well, it looks like Ariana Maddox is going to be taking over those duties from Sarah Hyland. And now Sarah Hyland has, well, this is in that she's saying that she is leaving because she took another opportunity that she wants to pursue, and it just so happens to be shooting during the same time as Love Island USA.
She probably had like a 2-year contract or whatever. And, you know, I feel like Ariana would be, she might be good at this. And they're trying to get, you know, the Vanderpump, you know.
Yeah, the reality.
The reality.
Family.
Yeah. People
shows.
Think of Sarah Hyland as, you know, the girl on
Modern Family. Yes, yes.
And I actually liked the British lady that was the host. I kind of got a kick out of her.
She was good, too.
She would just come in looking like a model and make some kind of a command or a demand. And
it was very lady exercise.
Yes, yes, very much so.
But the crazy part is here is, not crazy, but interesting, is Ariana Maddox, she's a huge fan of the show, and she even made a cameo on Love Island last season. So maybe the producers liked how
her vibe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So big news for her. Netflix, this is interesting. They have lost their bid to dismiss a defamation lawsuit surrounding Inventing Anna. Did you guys hear about this at all?
I love that show.
We gobbled
that up.
So a former friend of the con artist, Anna Sorokin, I believe is her name. Yep. So it was allowed on Tuesday to proceed with a defamation lawsuit against Netflix over the Shonda Rhimes miniseries, Inventing Anna. Now, Netflix had argued that Rhimes and other show creators have what's called literacy license to give their interpretation of events. Now, in rejecting this argument, the chief judge found that at least some of the characterizations in the show cross the line into defamation. So they're allowing this plaintiff named Rachel Deloche Williams, who was a friend of Anna Sorokin. She was depicted as abandoning Sorokin in Morocco and ultimately betraying her to the authorities. So she's saying that
I thought that girl kind of came out as the hero of that story. The one who
turned her in,
yeah. Well, like, alerted people to talk about a confidence man. Anna,
she was a confident woman.
Yeah, so what she's saying is that they portrayed her as snobbish, unethical, and greedy.
Okay, I guess I don't remember that, but I wouldn't like that if I was the hero of the story and they tried to make me be the biatch.
Yeah. Nope, I wouldn't either.
So they are moving forward. Netflix is going into court for that.
Okay.
Taylor Swift's dad, you remember the there was a little bit of a paparazzi encounter, a dad protecting his daughter. Well, the Australian police said that they conducted an investigation following the report of the assault, and there will be no further police action. No charges will be given to Taylor Swift's father, which we already assumed.
Yeah, the guy was an a-hole.
Yeah, he was. And we had heard he's done this before.
Very aggressive. He pushed Jacob Elordi. They got into something. He's like very aggressive to get that money shot of a celebrity doing something.
Yeah.
And when you watch any of, like, The Crown, even how aggressive paparazzi used to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think they still are, depending on the person.
Yeah. You're right.
And lastly here, we had
my sister's not being good paparazzi with Tiger Woods at Post Malone right now.
Not really. She's kind of being worthless.
I have no pictures.
Taking pictures from the back of the head.
I know, it's worthless.
It's safe. No one will
yell
at you.
She's so bad. Yes. I'm sorry, Grant, for interrupting.
Actually, let's just leave it at that. That's a great way to end it. Because
she's worthless.
She's not getting us any. Yeah, she's got to get that interview for us.
Yes. All right, everybody. Lori and Julia here for Chanhassen Dinner Theater. We're so happy to tell you about everything great going on there. A wonderful place to celebrate fun, enjoy people, and enjoy good entertainment, good food. The vibe is classic American supper club. You know, you can order great cocktails, have some coconut shrimp, have some grasshopper ice cream dessert drinks. But of course, you sit back, relax, enjoy the big Broadway hit, Beautiful, the Carole King musical. A cast of 29 people singing, dancing, it'll blow you away.
I mean, it is packed with so many songs that we know and love. Will You Love Me Tomorrow, So Far Away, Natural Woman, I Feel the Earth Move, plus Carol and her writing partner, we learn in the show, they write songs for other stars in the early years, and those people are performing The Shirelles' One Fine Day, Little Eva, The Locomotion on Broadway, The Drifter. I mean, the talent in this show is unbelievable.
Visit ChanhassenDT.com. Always entertaining you.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
And then there was a scandal.
Vintage scandal.
It was quite the scandal.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
We were just taking an extended break. We forgot. That's right. We forgot we were on the air. Sorry.
All right. So today we thought the vintage scandal we would revisit had to do with, we were talking about Jennifer Lopez yesterday and about that people just really were happy they're back together, but there's not a great deal of caring about Bennifer 2.0.
No.
It's not the buzz as
not
it was the first.
Not worth a $20 million movie.
Right.
To celebrate.
And it made us remember that Jennifer Lopez had like a 2-year relationship with Sean Diddy Combs, whose bad boy lifestyle is blowing up. Stuff is getting real for him with the feds.
And feels
rating.
Like a lot badder than we ever knew.
There were some people that knew, and there are people like all these things. Oh, it was an open secret about these parties that he had and all these young people. But I just was really interested in like revisiting that period of time because Jennifer Lopez, I believe, references him a little bit in
something she's
in
done.
Her the documentary or the greatest.
I can't remember, but of
one
course,
of the two.
When she was with him, she wore the Versace dress that started
Getty Images.
Grant, yeah. Getty Images was started from the dress that Jennifer Lopez wore, the Versace green.
Really, that's how
Grammys.
That came
at
about
at the Grammys.
Yes.
That's how Getty Images started.
And I use Getty Images. All
is it Getty
time.
Images or YouTube?
Getty
it's
Images.
Gotta be Getty.
Okay,
it's got to be Getty. Yeah,
because
that's huge.
People were trying to figure out how to ID it. It was Getty Images
okay.
was born.
Okay.
So anyway, one of his most memorable relationships that people still remember, but it's been a long time, was with J-Lo. And they
yes.
dated for 2 years and they were very much in the public eye the entirety of their 2 years, 1999 to 2001. And she was riding the box office wave of Selena. She was amazing in that. It was
yes.
a huge movie.
She was huge in...
But it was Selena
yep,
first.
All right,
okay, Selena's
I'm
the first.
I'm thinking that Sunday night movie show that I can't think of.
No. We're going yep. back to 1999. So it was Selena, and she was preparing to release her debut album, On the Six. And he was hired, Sean Combs was hired to co-write and produce her track, Feeling So Good, featuring Fat Joe. That's how they met. Sparks flew. He played a big role in how she got a hold of her debut single, If You Had My Love.
Okay.
And singer Shantae Moore previously told NPR that Combs persuaded Rodney Jenkins to give J-Lo the arrangements that he'd already been working on for her song, If I Gave Love. So she's talked about that.
Yeah,
so
okay.
that happened. And she said, I just heard it was because Puff Daddy walked in, heard my song and said, I want that song. And Jenkins, the song was like, well, it's already taken. We wrote that for Shantae. And he's like, Sean Combs was like, no, I want that song. And he got that song. And Jennifer Lopez, and I'll just call him Diddy, went public with their romance for the first time in September of 1999 at the MTV Video Music Awards. And J-Lo wore a bedazzled white crop top, white jeans, and a matching bandana. Very cholo.
Yeah, oh, I love it.
Sort
and
of
the
look.
Cholo glow. I got
cholo,
it.
Cholo, you know.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So she was nominated that night for Best Female Video, Best New Artist, Best Pop Video, and Best Dance Video for If You Had My Love, the Shantae song. And
I'm looking up what cholo means because I'm just pretending I'm cool. I'm pretending I'm so cool.
It's kind
right
of
now.
An East LA. It's sort of a look, you know. But J-Lo and Diddy dominated Hollywood red carpets for the 2 years they were together, and the 2000 Grammys the following February after the VMA is when she broke the internet, and this is before the internet existed.
Exactly.
And the term existed, and she wore that green Versace dress that led to the creation of Google Images.
Thank you. Because you said it was Getty, I knew it was something else.
Oh, yeah, Google.
Else. Thank you.
Google
Thank
images.
Thank you. I knew it was something else.
Yeah,
I knew it was something
sense.
Else.
Thank
I was
you.
Going crazy.
Yeah, that makes Google sense. Images. Excuse
okay.
me.
There we go.
Although most
you were adamant, though.
most people may not remember that Diddy was her date that night. She did walk hand in hand with him. And, you know.
Totally forgot. I knew they were together, but.
They walked that.
But she was everything.
Yeah. And while they were, you know, together, she was having some realizations. She told Rolling Stone magazine in February of 2001. She called him Puffy. And she said, well, Puff likes to go out. He's been a going out to clubs person all his life doing his things. And I've been a homebody. And so.
And she doesn't really party or drink.
No, not really.
She really doesn't.
She's got an alcoholic drink down, which is weird. But anyway, a top industry told the Post at the time of the Rolling Stone interview in 2001 that she'd wanted to end it for a long time, but she wanted to do it gracefully because with a guy like that, he's got a high profile and a bad temper.
You'd think he'd be so vindictive too.
Ironically, it was a party night out that caused the most strain in their relationship. So let me set up that night. In December of 1999, J-Lo and Diddy were hanging out at Shine Nightclub in Times Square when a fellow club goer reportedly tossed a wad of bills at Diddy, setting off a heated argument that broke out into gunfire. And both J-Lo and Diddy fled the scene in a Lincoln Navigator SUV, and police had to chase them down through 11 red lights.
That would be an ender.
Okay.
Once
the cops pulled them over, they found a stolen and loaded 9mm semi-automatic in the car, and everybody, including J-Lo, was arrested on weapons possession
okay,
charge.
Okay, I didn't know that. I knew she broke up him over the gun thing, but I didn't know she
was
arrested.
She was in jail for 12 hours and bawled her eyes out the whole time, according to police sources. And she wanted to break up as soon as she got bailed out of jail. But she played the supportive girlfriend for a little while longer while his case was tried in court. He was acquitted following the trial. He settled the civil suits with the victims for undisclosed amount of money, and she basically broke up with him a month after the trial. She told Elle magazine that it was a complete nightmare from beginning to end. This is in the July 2000 issue, so she's still with him. She said, I was scared to death in the car. I had absolutely no idea what was going on. No one did. Well,
he
I
did.
Think a couple of people did.
Yep.
And yeah, she broke up with him for good in February of 2001, with his alleged infidelity being the final nail, not just the arrest. And a lawsuit filed later that year claimed that Diddy had been carrying on a sexual relationship with the now late Kim Porter, which many people want him investigated for her strange, untimely death.
And
at the
she's
age,
the mother of most of his children.
Maybe two.
Okay.
But she died, you know, late 30s, early 40s. And, you know, he was with her apparently the whole time that he was with J-Lo. He was with Kim Porter the whole time.
And she died suddenly of a short, so young, like a couple years ago.
And 2 years after the split, J-Lo spoke to Vibe magazine about her relationship with Diddy for her cover story, admitting, it was the first time I was with someone who wasn't faithful. I was in this relationship with Puff where I was totally crying, crazy, and going nuts. It really took my whole life in a tailspin. And she went on further to tell the magazine she used to hunt Diddy down in hotel rooms and he wouldn't even deny it. And he's been asked about it. And he said, I can't really remember, but I won't say it didn't happen. And J-Lo also said in a different interview, I never caught him, but I just knew I had to think, do I want to be home with kids in 10 years wondering where somebody is at 3 a.m? That's an excellent question to ask yourself.
That is in that situation.
And since their romance ended, you know, on the surface, they've remain friends. And she has said in the past that she's grateful to him for things he helped her in her music career. But 2014 is the last time she waxed nostalgic about Diddy.
And I really bet that she did that just to kind of protect herself.
Possibly.
To make sure, because he feels like a scary man.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
We're finding this out.
We're finding out a lot of stuff. But she also, you know, you watch The Greatest Love Story Never Told. She talks about somebody that
being violent and cheating on her. Well, she had two different things.
There were people in my life who said I love you and then didn't do things that were kind of in line with the word love. Being thrown around and manhandled like that is not fun. I was never in a relationship where I got beat up, thank God, but I've definitely been manhandled and a couple of other unsavory things, rough, disrespectful. People were wondering if she was talking about Diddy. And on CBS Sunday Morning in 2019, she said, well,
we're talking about J-Lo.
Yeah, we were just both so young. We both grew up in the Bronx and he was in the music business and I was just starting and making my first album when I met him. Yeah. And that's kind of why she fell in with him. And excuse me, she did break up with him a month before his trial.
Okay.
In 2001. And apparently Diddy also had to apologize to her a couple times when she was dating Alex Rodriguez because he loved to go on social media and describe her booty.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he is under investigation for so many things right now. TBD. Yeah.
He's in deep crap.
He is. And a rapper called Luke Uncle talks about, you know, it's like you said here, his parties have been known by everybody as legendary events. And when he was asked, Uncle Luke, he said, you know, about going to these parties, he said that, you know, I don't know what goes on after hours, but I wasn't trying to find out, you know, I know my place.
And he also has been saying for about 2 months now, there's multiple documented videos of him saying that Diddy's going to go down. Diddy's going to get raided. I'm telling you this. He has been predicting every single thing about this for the last month and a half.
So he knows.
And he knows more. There is so much to this that we got to let it all out.
And people are really wanting the Kim Porter investigation because she died of some kind of pneumonia when she was 47
out of
the blue.
Yeah.
And she has two sons with him.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I think her other son, I'm a different father. And at one point, for a couple of years, she was married to Al B. Scherr, if you remember that singer. He had a few hit songs.
No. Anyway, Al B. Scherr.
No, that's his name. Al B. Scherr.
I'll be there.
I know. All right. Thank you for that, Lori. That was a lot of information.
Well,
but it's good vintage because I just remember the dress and her breaking up with him over a gun. And now we have the bigger picture.
The big picture.
Yeah. We do. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Thank you for hanging out with us. It was a fun day here on My Talk. I have to let you know two things. One is that Travis Kelce says the pictures of him in the water in the Bahamas, he's not rocking his hard body.
Oh, yeah.
Wants us all to know, according to his podcast with his brother, that, you know.
Yeah. He's in his off-season form.
I'm in my off-season,
dude.
Yeah,
I heard that today.
That's how we feel about the summer when we drink slightly more.
We're always more puffy. We are always more puffy. We would always lose weight in the winter and gain weight in the summer.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I don't know. I looked at the pictures of him and Taylor. And
they look great.
He looks perfect.
Like, oh my gosh.
He really does.
It must be so fun to snuggle up to a man that large. That's what I liked about our author today, that Adam Hawkins at 6'4".
In the book, The Other Side of Disappearing.
Yeah, her physical descriptions of him were delicious.
They really, Lori, you're so right about that. I had one other thing for you guys. I can't believe that we haven't teased Lori about that the MLB, which is Major League Baseball, is hiring a wiener connoisseur.
What?
Wow.
For what? Like as in hot dogs connoisseur?
Mm-hmm.
Like how see-through their wieners are.
Well,
in their new
fans. You would visit all 30 Major League Baseball ballparks and check out the wieners at each one.
Dream job.
You get to taste test dozens of hot dogs. Mm. They don't really care how good they are because they want you to measure each weenie to see which major league club has the biggest and the smallest. This is a job custom made for you.
I don't know. I haven't eaten a hot dog since I was a kid, but I vividly love remembering how much I liked them when our family would go camping. I was very fond of a barbecued wiener in the fire.
Burning them. You like a good cheddarwurst.
I do. Lori likes a good cheddarwurst.
I love those cheddarwursts.
Mm-hmm. And this is just like...
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun. Eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Wild in like best picture world. So 29 years ago today in 1995, Forrest Gump beat out Pulp Fiction, but the better one, and Shawshank Redemption for best picture. Shawshank Redemption.
That should have won.
It should have won.
That's the one that holds up. But Pulp Fiction is pretty good, and so is Forrest.
And I've never watched really that after Life is Like a Box of Chocolates. Yeah.
Oh, I've watched it.
Jenny, have you? I have
watched it a couple times. I don't know. I mean, but not Andy, as much as I've watched Shawshank Redemption.
That one.
See, yeah. I love Shawshank, and it's amazing, but I like the happiness that I get from Forrest Gump.
Then I might have to
watch
it again because I guess I'm a little out of practice.
Lieutenant Dan,
one.
When they get to Vietnam, socks. Oh my God, there's just so many great characters in that movie.
All right,
What was the other movie? Oh, Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Which
I had something else for you.
Bruce Willis also.
Yes.
Remember that scene with Bruce?
Oh my gosh. Unbelievable.
You know, that's another one I could go back to.
Yeah. That's one where I liked it the first few times I saw it. And it's just, it's kind of like one of those cult classics. I'm good on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm good on the two times.
But, all right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go. I blew my wad. That's it.
What's on TV tonight?
Who's what, Lori? I'm looking at this. Is today the 27th?
It is, yes.
Okay, so this is what it says. Stephen Colbert. Liam Neeson.
Ooh, he's got a new movie then.
And he's got one in Italy. I've started it four times. I never get past that part. And Fareed Zakaria.
Yeah, he's a political analyst, I think. And I think a commentator, like a reasonable person. Okay. He might have a show on
somewhere.
CNN or something. He's a smart guy. I feel like CBS Sunday Morning just profiled him. He might have a book out.
All right. And then on Seth Meyers, Maya Rudolph, she was on with Jimmy Fallon last night.
Yeah, and she was on the Today Show this morning.
She looks great.
And Kelly Ripa, she's got a new movie for us, obviously. And Seth Meyers last night showed, they taped it last week, but he did a day drinking with Kristen Stewart. That was pretty funny.
So good.
I need a report of Love Lies Bleeding. This is another horny movie that we owe it to ourselves.
Is this the one that Kristen Stewart's in?
Yes.
Love
Lies Bleeding.
Well, Chris Hewitt's on tomorrow.
Yes, we'll ask him.
Yes. I'm writing it down.
I know a couple of people who saw Shirley, and even though critics weren't loving it that much, loved it. And they're like, people should watch it so they remember to vote.
Shirley Chisholm's Story, which is on Netflix right now, starring Regina King.
And Gloria Steinem just turned 90 yesterday, and she is featured a little bit in the movie, and we see it in that miniseries that was on Hulu.
I still have the CD of her being on our show.
Yeah, she was on our show, Grant.
Really? I still have a picture of us with Gloria.
15 years ago, probably.
Kathy Hartner brought her in.
She was like in her mid-70s, and we were so impressed with her jeans, her turquoise belt buckle, a silk blouse.
And she fell in love.
And no bra.
No bra. And she fell in love with Batman's dad.
Christian Bale.
But Christian Bale's dad, but he died traumatically.
She married him at the age of 66 for the first time, and he died of brain cancer 4 years later. Yeah. And he was like the love of her life. And we talked to her about him. About losing her husband. She stayed for two segments. She said the S word twice on the air. Mm-hmm. We had to bleep her and report at the same time. Yeah. Donnie was going crazy. You can't say that word. Yes. And she goes, oh, bleep. And she did it again.
She absolutely did.
It's a lot less strict now than it was
back then. It used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, something.
You can get away with a lot.
It used to be something. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today. Guess what? We'll be back tomorrow. Have a good night.
Job done. Off you go.